Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
As we were talking about last time, love is our greatest weapon against the enemy. We have an enemy, it's the devil and his cohorts, it's the kingdom of darkness, but thank God we've got weapons that are mighty in God. And the greatest weapon of all is love, because the Bible tells us love never fails. In other words, love always hits its target. Never misses it. Always hits its target. So it's the greatest weapon you and I have in this spiritual warfare. So we need to learn to become skillful in the love of God. Master this love life. Master the love of God. Master this love walk God has called us to walk. The Bible says, as quick review, Bible says that love casts out fear. We understand that fear is at the root to every kind of bondage in this world. Any kind of bondage that someone may be in, the root of it is fear. And the answer to the fear, the answer to the weapon of fear that the enemy uses against us to try to bring us into bondage, is love. Because love drives it out. Love casts it out. And love is our armor. It's what we put on to protect ourselves. When you're walking in the love of God, you're walking in divine protection. You've got God's protection on your life. Colossians 3, verse 14 says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Again, we put it on just like armor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Again, breastplate is armor. And so he said, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And going back to where it says love is the bond of perfection, another translation says love is what brings everything together and causes everything to work. So love just brings everything together, causes all the other pieces of armor to come together and work. Love makes it all work. Because remember, he said, if you have not love, you're nothing. You can have faith to move mountains. You can have all these other things. You can have the gifts of the Spirit and all these great things. But if you have not love, then you ain't got nothing. Love's what makes everything work right. So love is the ultimate thing that you and I are to be pursuing. And love isn't just defensive armor. It is also a weapon. And I'll remind you of Romans chapter 12, verse 20, where it says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Or we can say overcome evil with love. Love overcomes evil. Love is stronger than evil. Evil tries to act tough. We got all these horror flicks and all these things. We got the big, bad, masked, mean, psychopath, killer who's on the loose, you know. And he's scary. He's scary. Oh, we got these terrorists. Oh, terrorists. Well, we got love. We got the love of God, praise God. Terrorists are terrorized themselves. They're just people that are terrorized. See, they try to act like they're the ones that are going to terrorize everybody. But we know the truth. The truth is that anybody that walks in in fear, tries to dominate people through fear, is a very fearful person. The more they use fear on others as a tactic to get their way, the more in fear they are. So anybody that goes around claiming to be a terrorist is terrorized. Well, once you realize that, then you're not afraid of them anymore. You realize, well, they're the scared ones. They're terrorized. Praise God. And so we're walking in the love of God, and we can cast out terrorists. Thank God we can. Walking in the love of God. But notice the aggressiveness here. If your enemy does something to you, turn around and do something good. Turn around and do something good. When you feel a fiery, nasty dart of the wicked one hit you, turn around and do something lovely. And instead of you taking a fiery dart from the devil, you'll heap hot coals of fire on the devil. Because remember, when it says you'll heap hot coals of fire on their head, he's not talking about the person that you're doing good to who just did you evil, but you're going after the authority that that person's yielding to. Because head in the Word of God symbolizes authority. So you're going right to their head, which is their authority, which is the devil, the demon that's stirring them up to do something nasty to you. And praise God, when you do something good, you're heaping hot coal, you're releasing the power of God upon the devil and driving him out. He doesn't know what to do. What can he do to that? It just totally disarms him and torments him. Can you say? And it's okay to torment the devil. That's okay. It's perfectly legal. Perfectly legal. Just want to let you know that. Some people think, that's not very nice. Well, it's the devil. It's okay. It's nice. We could take it all out on him. Praise God. Isn't that good? Don't take it out on your brother or your sister, but you can take it out on the devil. Hallelujah. And that's perfectly legal. Glory to God. And then we talked about how love keeps us walking in the light. The light. Which means what? Which means it protects us from the darkness or deception. Because deception is a form of darkness. So love keeps us from being deceived. Love will keep you from being deceived. If we stay in the love of God, it's going to be impossible to be deceived. We'll know the way to go. We won't get tripped up. We won't do the wrong thing. Think about that. Walk in love, you'll never be deceived. The devil will never be able to deceive you. And that's the number one weapon of the enemy is deception. And that's what he's using. The Bible warns in these last days how he is going to try to really deceive people. In fact, he's going to try to deceive a lot of people in the church world. Notice this in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about basically Antichrist. Let me hear the Antichrist. There's an Antichrist coming in these last days. And here it refers to the lawless one. Well, before the Antichrist or the lawless one comes on the scene, there's going to be a lot of Antichrists in the earth. And a lot of lawless ones. A lot of people trying to create lawlessness in the land. All right? So he says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now notice that again, verse 10. Satan, signs and wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So he's deceiving people because they did not receive the love of the truth. So because they didn't receive God's love, they were deceived. So deception comes easy when we get out of love. And so the enemy's always going to be trying to bait us and draw us out of love. Because if he can get us further and further out of love, then he can easily deceive us. with all kinds of, even the church world, the Bible talks about, will be deceived. Go over here to Matthew chapter 24. And in verse, well, Jesus here, he's talking about the last days. He starts off in verse 4 by saying, Jesus answered them and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. That no one deceives you. So we don't have to be deceived. He's saying, take heed. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That's darkness. Deception is darkness. Verse 6, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Now let's just stop there and look at those last two verses, verses 10 and 11. Let's go back to verse 10. And then many will be what? Offended. Got their feelings hurt. They're mad at their brother. They're mad at their sister. They're offended. They're offended at people. And then the result of that is they'll betray one another and will hate one another. Hate is the opposite of love, right? Next verse. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. See, we just saw that over in Thessalonians, that the enemy has to get us out of love in order to get us into deception, where we believe his lying signs and wonders. So here, he's got some false prophets he wants to bring on the scene. How's he going to do that? Well, he's got to get folks hating one another first. He's got to get the church divided. He's got to get people offended. If he can get you offended, then he can deceive you, get you under a false leader, raise up some false ministries, huh? Bring the church into bondage. We see that, right? So clearly, verse 11, then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. But that doesn't happen until verse 10, where many will be offended. So many will be offended, and then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. So we have to keep ourselves from being offended. We have to keep ourselves in the love of God. We can't listen. An offended person is a hateful person. It's as simple as that. If you're offended, you're in hate. A lot of folks don't look at it that way. They just, well, no, they hurt my feelings, and I'm just upset with the way you treat me. You're in hate. You're hating that individual. Shouldn't even be an issue to you. Shouldn't even be an issue to you. You are so full of the love of God that any little fiery dart, any little thing that would try to get you upset should just be quenched in that love of God. See, we want to be saturated with God's love. Saturated with. Well, how do you get saturated with the love of God? Well, you take time and enjoy it. You turn it on and you drink of it, you enjoy it, and you fellowship with love himself. And you just let God just shower on you, and you meditate and think about how much Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. Praise God. And you just think on that, and you saturate yourself with the love of God. And then if something goes wrong with people, it's like, oh, it's all right. God loves me. He loves you. We'll get through this thing. See, but outside the love of God, everything's a big deal. Everything's a big deal. In the love of God, man, things are light and easy. Life is light and easy in the love of God. Because you know God loves you, and he loves them, and you love them, and you love everybody. Praise God, you don't got nothing against anybody. Why? Because you've been forgiven of everything. Right? You've been forgiven of so much. How could you possibly be offended at somebody else? That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous, to be offended at somebody else. If you've been forgiven for so much. All we got to do is just keep going back to the cross. Go back to the cross and say, oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. And we just build that into ourselves, renew our minds to God's love, keep ourselves saturated with the love of God, and then the devil won't bring any false prophets into our life or any kind of false person into our life. Not just prophets, but, you know, there's also wolves in sheep's clothing. Not shepherd's clothing. Sheep clothing. They look like sheep. They go, ha, 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 ha. But they're really bad. 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 They're goats. They'll kick you. They'll stick their horns in you when you turn your back on them. It's like, oh. Oh, yeah. But you won't be deceived. You'll see, the Bible talks about false brethren. You'll be able to pick it off. You'll be recognized. You won't be deceived. Thank God. Too many people are so deceived. So drawn away by the enemy. But the root of that is walking in offense, bitterness, anger, selfishness, hateful. These are the things that open the door to the enemy to deceive us. Amen. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm in this for the long haul. You know, we got to get the, you know, instant gratification concept philosophy out of our minds, you know. It's not just about today. We're looking at the finish line. You know, we can encourage ourselves, say, praise God, we did good. But just don't pat yourself too much on the back. We still got more to go. This thing isn't over yet. And if you fall down and you have some negative things, don't just sit there and take a sledgehammer and just beat yourself up over there. I can't believe I did. Listen, there's a long race to go here. Just keep going. So we don't want to get overly excited about a good thing and a victory in life. And at the same time, we don't want to get all in condemnation and beat up over negative things that happen. We got to understand, we're in this for the long. I'm going to cross that finish line. And we're going to get over these hurdles. And we're going to move past these things. And we're just going to keep going. And then when we cross the finish line and the ribbon snaps and there's Jesus, then we can say, but right now we're running and we're going to go all the way to the end. Say, I'm going to endure all the way to the end. Right, so that means what? That means that you can't let your love grow cold. And right now, some of you might feel good. You might feel lovely. But this time tomorrow night, you might not. The devil might have a big icicle prepared for you. Something to really cool you off. Really get you offended, get you upset. You don't know what's out in front of you. So you have to understand that, okay, I got to be in the love of God today, and I got to keep myself in the love of God. I got to keep myself on fire with the love of God. And if I do, I'll make it to the end. We don't just take it for granted. Of course I'm going to make it to the end. You know, you don't want to have that kind of attitude either. All right? You got a purpose to make it to the end, and you do that how? By keeping yourself in the love of God. Can you say amen? So offended people are easily deceived by Satan, and these people will always cause division. Always cause division. Go to Jude. Jude 1, verse 17. I mean, we can go back to verse 16. That's good too. I like all of Jude. But let's go to verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage of them. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And unfortunately, he's talking, in its context, he's talking about church, in the church world. Verse 19, these are sensual persons. Sensual, my margin says for that word sensual in the Greek, it could also be translated soulish or worldly. These are sensual, soulish, worldly persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, what do you do with these sensual, deceptive, deceitful people? They're trying to deceive you. They mouth great, flattering words to try to deceive you, to try to draw you to them. He says, what do you do to combat this? Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. He's not done, though. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So notice that. He says these are these murmurers, these complainers. They're just, all they're thinking about is their own lusts and gratifying themselves. He says they're sensual, earthly, or worldly, soulish persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit, but you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is a key right here to staying in the love of God. How can we keep ourselves? How can I keep myself in the love of God? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the, that's why it's so important for us to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. I mean, Jesus didn't give us the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues just as an extra little frill, a little side Christian benefit. It's necessity. It's a necessity. This is a supernatural way you and I can stay in the love of God. Staying in the love of God, not getting and thus not getting deceived by sensual, worldly persons. And there, it can be very deceptive because there is a worldly, soulish, sensual love that many times people mistake for the love of God. People think it's the love of God. Whole churches are built on it. It looks like the love of God. It is love, but it's not the love of God. It's a selfish love. It's worldly. There's the love of God, and there is a worldly, sensual love. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and learn about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice in verse 10, it says, for the love of money. Now, people think that's a good thing or a bad thing. Who would say it's a good thing? The love of money. Who would say it's a bad thing? For the love of money. That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. But it's love, isn't it? Isn't it? It's love. Oh, it's love. It's love. Peace, baby. It's love. Yeah. But it ain't a good love. I can tell you that right now. The love of money is not a good love. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. There's a love that is a root to all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil spring up out of it. But it is love. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Well, that's talking about believers. That's talking about folks that were in faith. And now they strayed from the faith In other words, they were in faith. They were in the love of God, because that's what our faith is built on. It's built on the love of God. So they were in the love of God. They had faith, but they strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's the end result of those things. It has caused problems for themselves. This love is a root to all kinds of things. It causes all kinds of problems for you. All kinds of problems. But, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So notice, he says, there's the love of money, which is the root to all kinds of evil. He says, flee that love. And he said, pursue this other love. And it is another love. When you look it up, this love of money is actually one Greek word. Love of money is one Greek word. And that word is philagure. I was practicing this earlier. Philagureia. Gureia. Philegarueia. I was practicing it. It sounded better back there. Philegureia. All right? Well, what is this? What is that? What is that? It's a covetous love. A covetous love. It means love of money, love of silver, greedy. It's a covetous love, a starving hunger for something. In other words, it's a love that wants. Give me, give me, give me. That's what this love is. It's a love that wants to get things. In this case, money. But it's not just limited to money. But then verse 11, where he says, but you, O man, flee these things. You got to run from these things. Because these things, in this world, these things will try to grip you. They'll try to get on you. They'll try to warp you and deceive you. Why? Because it's demonically empowered. But he said, flee from these things. Run from these things and run to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. That word, love, is agapea. Agapea. And that means, when you look it up in the Greek, benevolence, charity or charitable, being generous. In other words, it's a love that gives. It's a giving love. Where is the love of money? Love is a getting love. So there's a getting love, a getting for yourself love, and then there's a giving out of yourself kind of love. But they're both love. And many times that could be a stumbling block for people. Because we all love all the time. If you're not pursuing God's love, then you are pursuing this other love. This love of getting. This love of getting. He says, don't pursue the love of getting. He says, pursue the love of giving. The love of giving. Now, everybody's pursuing something, but love is pursuing getting in order to give. That's the motive. I'm getting in order to give. I'm getting in order to give. Number one, give to God. Everything about our life should be for God. Be a sacrifice for Him. To give to Him. To be a blessing to Him. We want to be a blessing to our God. We want to be fruitful to God. We want to be pleasing to Him, right? We want to accomplish things for His name's sake. We want to bring Him glory. So we're getting in order to give. But lust is just seeking to get for the sake of getting. So it's just going halfway. It's just stopping with itself. So let's just not, why go halfway? Let's go all the way. Let's go do it for the sake of our God. Let's seek to be a blessing. And that's when it's going to be rewarding. That's when we're walking in the giving love, which gives us light so that nothing can deceive us. But when we stop with just ourselves, our vision is short-sighted. We can't see beyond ourselves. And that's where light can be very blinding. The light of love, selfish getting love, is a blinding light. Both loves have light, but one is blinding, which is darkness. There's a light that actually causes darkness. Let me illustrate. One time I was sitting in my car, and it was late at night, it was dark, and I was trying to get something. I turned on my interior lights. And when I turned on my interior lights, I had turned off my headlights. And when I finished doing what I was doing, I looked up, and I couldn't see outside the car. And I just stopped and thought about that for a moment. How I cannot see what's around me because of the light that's on inside the car. It's causing me not to be able to see very far. But if I turn off the interior, both lights, if I turn off the interior light and put on the headlight, in other words, get the light off of me and put the light out there. Now I can see everything that's going on around me, but the criminal out there can't see me. Right? Now the little devil out there in the darkness, he can't see me because I'm in a dark car. And I got my light on him. What's going on around me? So when we get into self and all self-absorbed, it's like putting on your interior lights in a dark world. And you're walking around and you can't see out very far beyond yourself. So you're blind. Imagine driving your car that way at night. Well, I got my lights on. You know, a police officer pulls you over. He says, you got your interior lights on and you got your headlights off. Well, I got my lights on. Isn't that good enough? See, it's just like that selfish getting love. Right? It just stops with me. It just stops with me. And that'll cause you to get into an accident. That'll cause a lot of sorrows. That'll cause you a lot of problems. But we want to get the light off of us and shine it out beyond us. Shine it into the darkness around us. And that's when we're going to be able to see clearly where to go. Nothing's going to be able to sneak up on us and deceive us. Come on. We're going to be able to see clearly. Amen. I like putting my brights on. Then we can go to the next level. Put your brights on. But so many Christians that walk around, they got the little interior light on. I love you, Jesus. When's the money going to come in, Jesus? I love you, Jesus, and I'm believing you for the money, Jesus. And I'm believing you for this, Jesus, and I'm believing you for that, Jesus. And the devil's sneaking up on him and doing all kinds of stuff and wreaking havoc around them, and they don't see a thing that's going on. I hear something out there. You know what I'm talking about? No, let's turn that light off and put the brights on. Put our headlights on, praise God, and be motivated to be a blessing and to go where God wants us to go and do what God wants us to do. And seek to be a blessing and a refreshing to others in what we're doing. So yeah, we take the money. And we manage our money, and we do what we need to do, and we're responsible with these things. We're not just reckless in our giving. We are radical in our giving, but we're not reckless in our giving, right? Because we have order to what we're doing. Why? Because we save and we budget and we do what we need to do with our finances so that God can work through us and we can be a blessing so we can abound to every good work. We're just not hoarding and protecting and guarding our money for the sake of having money. People get so uptight. I got so many bills. I got a word for you. Bills you'll have with you always. It's a great revelation to get a hold of. I got so many bills. Well, good. That's a part of life. Why are we so uptight about that? That's just a part of life. You're always going to have bills. No matter how much money you have, you'll always have bills. If you're going to be a fruitful person. If you're going to do anything. A lot of people just, I just want to hoard it up, and I just want to retire. That's all I want to do. I just want to bring it all in, and I'd like to have a generator that takes care of my passive. No more electric bill. I'd like to have a well in my backyard. No more water bill. And I just want to eliminate all the bills from my life. And then, I can say to my soul, soul, you have laid up many good things for yourself. Relax and enjoy your life. But then a little voice from heaven says, you fool. Your soul will be required of you today, and thus you die. I knew there was a guy in my old neighborhood back in New York. He had just retired. Bless his heart, he was so excited about retiring. He retired and dropped dead the next day. Imagine that. All those years working towards retirement, staying those extra years, staying with the company, those extra years so you can retire, and you die the same year. This is how foolish it is to live for yourself in a life that is but a vapor. We've got to realize this life is a vapor. We're not going to live for that. We're going to live for God. We're going to live for God. We're going to make every day count for the kingdom of God. We're going to overcome evil with the goodness of God, with the love of God. We're going to go and do what God's called us to do. We're going to live out beyond ourselves and be a blessing to the world around us. We're going to give of ourselves. It's all about a giving. Praise God. So yeah, we'll gather it up, but it's so we can be a blessing. Our whole life is about giving. Not just about getting and finding security and peace and happiness in having. Security, peace, and prosperity and blessing is not in having. It's in giving what you have. It's in helping and in sharing. It's in being fruitful. It's being a blessing to others. This is the love of God. This is the difference between pursuing a love that stops with yourself and pursuing a love that goes on to help and be a blessing to others. But either way, we're all pursuing love, aren't we? We're all pursuing love. We're all sacrificing. We're all working at this thing. It's just, what love are you working at? At the one that causes you sorrows in the end? Or the one that reaps eternal rewards? We're all working. Lust is not easy. The love of the world, the love of self, that's not an easy life.
God's life is so hard. It's just so easy to just give into the lust of the flesh.
No, 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 no. That is terrible work. You are laboring so hard. So hard. It's hard work. It's hard work. And there's a lot of sacrificing. You're sacrificing your soul. You're sacrificing others. You're sacrificing your future. There's so many things you're sacrificing. Living for yourself. It's a hard life. You're working very hard. So don't tell me that God's way is hard and the world's way is easy. No, that's a deception. That's a lie of the devil. That's a deception of the devil right there. That's darkness. That thinking is darkness. It's not. Everybody's working. Some people are working for the weekend. Some people are working to get what they can get. And they're working. But other folks are working for the kingdom. Seeking all that they can give. Come, can we change that? Can we? I'd like to do that. Everybody's working for the kingdom. Everybody wants to be a blessing. It's Wednesday night. The Holy Ghost wants to keep you awake, so he puts a little extra in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, offense, hatred. He says, avoid foolish stuff. We need to live above all the foolish talk. When you're in the love of God, you're living in a high place. Come on. You're in the highest place that a person can be when you're in the love of God. And you can see how foolish the things of the flesh are, these little arguments and things, you know? And you just can easily walk away from them. We need to learn to walk away from them and say, well, you know what? We'll pick that up at another time maybe. But you keep your mind on higher things. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. We're either fleeing from lust or we're fleeing from love. Because you know what? Oh, the devil, he's just pursuing me. He's just after me. Well, you know what? God is too. God's after you. God, we see that in Genesis, don't we? Adam, where are you? Adam, God's chasing him. God is chasing Adam. And what is Adam doing? He's running, he's hiding, he's fleeing. See? So people think, oh, the devil's just after me. Well, God's after you too. Which one are you fleeing from? And a lot of folks are just worn out because they keep fleeing from God. They're fleeing from God. Let's stop fleeing from God, you know, because he'll convict us, he'll call out to us, he'll deal with us, he'll work on us. And to go with the devil, to go with lust, that isn't easy. Because you got to resist God. You got to flee from God, and God's pretty tough. You got to run away from that conviction of the Holy Spirit. You got to hide from God and blind yourself to him. I mean, it's a lot of work. Thank God we don't have to do that. But we're going to flee from the devil. We're all fleeing from someone. Guess that's what I'm saying. We're all fleeing from someone. What are you fleeing from? What have you been running from today? Who have you been hiding from today? Let it be the devil. Let it be youthful lust. Let it be this desire and this craving and this longing to just fill yourself. Again, it's the give me, give me, give me mode. Flee from the give me mode and pursue, give into the giving mode. Give into the God mode. Revelations chapter 12, we'll close with this in verse 11. Because we're talking about overcoming all the works of the devil, being victorious in life. Revelation 12, winning in this spiritual war that we are in. Verse 11. And they overcame him, overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives. They did not love money. They didn't live in this love of self, this covetous, greedy, starving hunger for self, to fill and satisfy self. They didn't live for that. And because they didn't live for that, we know what they did live for. They lived for giving. They lived for the love of God. And as a result, they overcame him. They overcame who? They overcame the devil. The devil's mad. We can read the whole thing there. He has a short time. He knows his time is running out. He's on a rampage. He's out of his mind. He's just gone crazy. But thank God, he is no threat to us. Hallelujah. We overcome all his rage. We overcome all his hate. We overcome all his evil. We overcome all his lust, all his covet, all his weapons, all the darkness. We overcome it all by not walking in the love of self, but in the love of giving. Not in the love of getting, but in the love of giving. That's the love of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Go ahead, play it. Come on now. In heaven. They're all watching in heaven. What you gonna do? They're all looking at you. They're leaning over the banister of heaven right now. Will you come out of yourself tonight? They're gonna see if you're gonna get it right. Everybody's working for the kingdom. Everybody's looking to be a blessing.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.